Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's nice. The drive is live, and we are live right off Tomball Parkway. Buffalo Wild Wings, make your way out here as it is Thirsty Thursday. We got a few people here trying to make a bad decision, whether you're hurt or not. Get out here and enjoy yourself and do your thing. As we'll be here till 6 o'clock. This is one of our favorite locations. We've been here a lot over the years, and we'll have some fun here. Our waitress, she is still there every time, man.
She ain't going nowhere.
She ain't going nowhere every time. She got her little red shirt just different from everybody else.
Doors probably wouldn't open if she didn't show up one day.
I'm telling you, baby, she's like the defensive coordinator. She got a different colored shirt on. But
y'all see me?
There we go.
You sit on the other side of that wall. I ain't yours. Get over here in my bar. I got you.
I got you. All right, as you see, if you're on YouTube and Twitch, we appreciate you. T-Mill is in the building doing his thing, as well as everybody here. You can participate with the show on there. Also on the text line, 713-572-4-610. The Astros, they're about to get underway as they're finishing up this series in Toronto. They got a big win last night. We can get to that because I would say maybe the performance of the year last night for the Astros, and he has absolutely nothing to show for it, but maybe the performance of the year for the Astros. Here is the lineup as they go in, and right off the bat, Tyler, Clint's got a problem. Here is the lineup for the Astros as they take on the first place Toronto Blue Jays in Toronto. Jeremy Peña, he is leading off at short. Alvarez, is the DH. Correa, and then Altuve is back in the lineup at second base. Yordan is the DH today. Sanchez is in the outfield with Diaz moving up. And how about him? What a big, big, big bomb he hit late. He's catching tonight and today. Christian Walker behind him in center in left field. Taylor Trammell in center field. Dubon, Christian Javier gets the ball for the start. So, again, that is Peña, Yordan, Correa, Altuve, Sanchez, Diaz, Walker, Trammell, and Dubon. And that is the lineup. And, Clint, you don't like that Jake is missing a day in center field.
Yeah, I've gone from cringing when Jake Meyers was in the lineup to what in the hell are we doing when he's not in the lineup. I mean Jake is I just don't understand why Jake isn't in the lineup. And I thought he was above some center field rotation. I thought we'd gotten to a point where you got a guy that's hitting 300 and he's a gold glove candidate that you'd probably go ahead and just let him bat and play center field and he'll be your everyday center fielder. He clearly, due to missing 2 months, I think almost two months on the button, I think, per game, game to game. But nonetheless, missing 2 months, you would think that, you know, it'd be nice over a 18, 20, 21 game stretch to get as many at bats as you can and be exposed to as many different situations at the plate and different ballparks and work some of the kinks out. You would think that it would be important to get that done for your what I thought was going to be your everyday center fielder. And so I don't like that Jake Meyers is not in the lineup today. Not a fan of that at all. But it does put me in a spot where you just wonder, and I think you may have even said this, Ron, of, you know, is this going to be something in the outfield, not just left field, but in the outfield overall, is this going to be something that we constantly see a different group of guys across the board, whether it's right field, left field, center field? Jesus Sanchez can play right and left. Obviously, Dubon and Jake Meyers and Trammell can play center. You've just got, you know, we're going to play this road, again, turnstile outfield the entire time, or is Jake Meyers going to at some point work his way into being the everyday center fielder that is untouchable? I thought Jake hitting 300 and being who he is when he got back, I thought he was going to be damn sure untouchable, but I guess not.
Yeah, I wouldn't read quite too much into the thought that there may be a platoon out there. He's played the last four games and he's had that calf issue. Now I can understand your, what are we doing here? They just had an off day Monday. He played two in a row. Why does he need another off day?
So you agree?
I think they're probably wanting him to make sure that calf is in good shape. But he is, since he's come back, he's been the center fielder every day. And this is the first game that he is that he's missed in the lineup since he's gotten back. So I would just take it as that. I think Clint, when they get to the postseason, when they get in those spaces, I would imagine he'll be in center field every day. Yeah, and what a turn of events right there for you, Clint, clamoring for Jake Myers to be in the line of every day.
Yeah,
you got Dubon's in center today.
Well, I don't mind Dubon being in center.
I'm just saying the change. You would have never complained about Dubon.
Well, we're in a race, bro. We're in a race. You got a 300 hitter on a bench.
Everybody won yesterday. And so the means still remains a one game lead, 2.5 over the Rangers.
Yeah, I mean it's going to be a race down the wire here, and I don't like choosing to not start a 300 hitter. That's where I'm at. But we'll see. We'll see. It's loose.
Yeah. Somebody texted in and said that's Captain Joe, baby.
Oh yeah.
Yep. Well, that's Captain Joe.
I'm trying to do the best I can.
Yeah, he is, man.
Is Melton back out there?
No.
Is he in Sugar Land?
No, I think Melton's still up there. They're going to use him as a
pinch runner.
That's a good pinch runner, man.
Rob, when you said Clint already had a problem today with the Stros, that's exactly where my mind went.
Man, you hear that, Tyler? He still got freaking Jacob Melton in there. Yeah. Jacob Melton involved in this at all. He ain't in the game.
What did this man do to you, Clint?
It's 149.
It's Chaz, and Chaz is down there with sunflower seeds. It's Sugar Land. It's pissed off, and he's in here. That's what it is.
It's just the decision my Astros make. It is just simply the decision my Stros make. I'm not a firm believer in the getting a slew of left-handed bats in the lineup when a righty's pitching. Like that's silly as hell to me anyway. But it's even more silly when it's at the extreme of playing a guy that literally no matter who's on the bump. Anybody with a heartbeat and an arm out there, he's hitting 149. So, I mean, which he's not out there, so we can keep this thing moving. I just hope Tramiel doesn't drop south of 200 here so I can add him to the mix here. I know that's Luke Morrow's boy, but
Tyler, what do you think Clint's face is every time
dead lefty
he's watching? He's watching Jacob Melton.
Pure disgust.
Strikes out or grounds out. grounds out to second.
Just looking green in the face.
Let me really make an impact on this game, man. Let me get all these left-handed batters up there. One's hitting 208. One's hitting 149.
Tyler, he is zeroed in on Jacob Melton.
He's dead ass serious.
I mean, zeroed in.
Well, the only one that, like, I don't know. I mean, you look at his numbers and it's clear. Big Sanchez, he ain't worth a damn versus a lefty. I mean, good God. So, I mean, that's the one I can see doing a little dancing around for. But the rest of them, come on, man.
Dancing around for Jacob in there. 713-572-4610, YouTube and Twitch. Who is your Jacob Melton for the Astros? Everybody has one on the team. Everybody has a guy on the team.
Altuve's
just like,
base running.
Stop. No. I need a player. A player that when you see him, you are just pure disgust. You have no confidence. You have no trust when he enters the game. Who is that? Who is that? For me, the last couple of years, it was Rafael, out of the reliever. He's no longer.
Oh, Montero.
Montero. Every time he came out.
Oh, yeah.
I thought, what are they thinking?
He's got no shot. GM Bagwell signing. Yeah.
He's got no shot. Who is it? 713-572-4610. Who is your Jacob Melton? Who is the guy that waltzes out there every time you see his ass? You have zero confidence, and you instantly have pure disgust on whoever's decision it was for that player to enter the game.
I feel like Tyler's got several.
I'm thinking real hard on this, man.
Maybe you don't have one. Maybe you don't have a Jacob Melt that gets under your skin.
Well, I know a lot of people. It was Presley before he got let loose.
Was it Ryan?
There for about a three-month span. I think Ryan had fallen out of good grace with many Astros.
Maybe he's fallen out of good grace, but Ryan's a little hard because he's got a little history. Jacob Melton ain't got a history.
Yeah, but you couched it as when you see that guy on the field, your confidence is just shot. I think a lot of people were there with Ryan.
Oh, yeah, we're getting a very popular one coming in. Lance McCullers. Yeah, that's a good one there. Ocho said Worthless Walker. God, dog, man, why do you keep
already there with
that
Christian Walker, huh?
He's been there. He calls him Worthless Walker. That's what he always
Worthless Walker.
Yeah, Lance McCullers is charging in on this question.
That is fair.
That's a
good one.
That's a good one. Someone said Ort. Really? I don't know.
That's where, I thought that was going to be Tyler's guy.
Tyler was thinking of him the other day. Yeah, that's the only one I can really – I don't think I really have one this year.
Yeah, Chaz coming in. Well, luckily they got rid of him for
the training staff.
To be fair, Chaz did not give me much of a. I mean, he didn't give me much to stand on with the argument.
Yeah,
I'll be honest with you.
I feel like Clint goes to the restroom, put his girls to bed when Jacob Milton comes to the plate because he got no expectations.
There is no doubt.
Man, go ahead.
I try to hang on. I'm looking at the TV straight from the side when I see Jacob Milton in the on deck circle. I'm like, all right, let's go to bed, baby.
You know what mine is?
Get your baby doll and your bunny. Let's go to bed.
Your bunny. You know what mine is? It's any time we might see a member of the training staff for the Astros, like, looking at an arm this year. Like, out at the mound, like, looking at him. That's it for me.
I don't know about if you're just looking at – just looking.
just the sight of,
just the eyes. Just looking at anything. Somebody who I don't think is on that list, it shouldn't be for anybody, is Jason Alexander. I think, Clint, he may have had the performance of the year. When you think about it, all right – the Rangers are charging. They just won. They won earlier in the day. The lead is down to two for them. You could be a game and a half up on the Rangers if you lose last night to the Blue Jays. And then you look at the Mariners. They are on a now five-game winning streak because they end up beating the Cardinals again last night. You had one-game lead up on the Mariners in the division, not playing well. You lose two of three over the weekend. And now you got to turn to who? Jason Alexander. You got to turn. You've lost a Framber start. All right, you got to turn to Jason Alexander to try to come through for you. And he goes out and gives you seven innings, three hits, no runs, three strikeouts on 89 pitches, and goes and just shuts down one of the best teams in baseball, the Toronto Blue Jays. Now, he didn't get anything to show for it because the bullpen blew it, but he came up big, and they needed to have that, and you needed a big-time pitching performance, Clint, and Jason Alexander was just enormous last night for the Astros.
Yeah, look, he's been good, man. I mean, he's been good to really good for, I mean, a solid 2.5 months. I mean, he's been good to really good. I mean, you're looking at an average of 5 2/3 innings. He's only given up more than two runs, three times in about 10 starts. So, yeah, man. I mean, Jason Alexander. The more this goes on, he is stylistically he's a guy though. You've got to see a large sample size, right? He's got a real Greinke feel to him. He's got a real Greinke feel of. There's obviously not the ability to overpower anybody.
He's changing speeds on you. He's changing locations on you, keeping you off balance.
It's definitely finesse. It takes a while, you know, a larger sample size to see. Hey, man, this guy just flat. He's got it now. And last night goes a long way, as you said. Seven innings, three hits, no earned runs, no runs period, but no earned runs, one walk. I mean, last night was an absolute gem, and as you mentioned, the Astros, I mean, desperately needed it.
Yeah, I mean you're sitting there thinking, fellas, all right, man, we could lose our lead in the division if we lose today, and I don't know if Jason Alexander is the guy you wanted that to fall on. Shut up, Ocho. Don't call him Worthless Walker. but that's not who you wanted it to fall on. You would like to have, all right, man, maybe the biggest game of our season coming down to him. And, man, he rose the occasion. That was big time. And I'm not going to lie to you. I've had some potential concerns where we've had conversations of, hey, if he gets a start in the postseason. This was not the postseason yesterday, Clint, but that going into that game was postseason, almost, I guess, the closest you could get to postseason type of pressure. And we got to have this game, man. We need you to have a start to give us a chance, and that was big time. I feel more comfortable with him in the postseason potentially. And shout out as we should, Yiner Diaz, for coming up big and ending that game, because I ain't gonna lie to you, man. I wonder if that was going to be a 12-13 inning affair with the bullpen being used up like it was the day before, with Garcia having to come out in the second. That saved him. Him getting that home run there, and then obviously seven innings, giving them some length, that saved them big time. By the way, we'll keep you we'll keep you updated right now on the Astros, as George Springer is rounding third, and he is in there. The Blue Jays lead 1-0 with two batters right now. You can keep it right here with us. We will, as Tyler lets you know, keep you abreast about what's going on here with the Astros. A lot to get to. We have the head coach live, D'Amico Ryans. We'll carry that. We'll let you hear what he's got to say ahead of the Monday night game. Also, C.J. Stroud. And we will hear from the Bucs side of things. We will hear from the Bucs side of things coming up in the bottom of the 3 o'clock hour as we'll hear from S.I. Ryder coming up. J.C. J.C. Allen. He'll join us coming up at 3:40 as we'll hear from the Bucs as well. All right. As we continue here live from Buffalo Wild Wings, stay with us as we'll keep you updated on what's going on here. We'll look for D'Amico Ryans coming up potentially in just a bit.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Pops this one up. Shouldn't score the run. Jeremy Pena drifts out, and he's looking for help. Nobody's going to catch him. Jesus Sanchez had a long way to go, and that's going to end up being a double for Barger. I'm not sure if Pena never saw it, or if he just assumed Sanchez was going to catch it, because Jeremy was a lot closer to that pop-up than Jesus Sanchez was. Should have been an out without scoring a run.
I would say it should have been an out no matter what.
Yeah, that was bad. That was a bad look, and it leads to now a 2-0 lead for the Toronto Blue Jays. As really, to be honest, Clint, in that first inning, two plays that you think's got to be made. You can't give up a two runs when one batter gets a grounder to the pitcher that you're unable to get an out on, and then a pop up that barely gets past the infield into the grass. You've got to come down with those plays. They lead 2-0 now after an inning, and that was bad defense. Defense a couple of ways for the Astros there.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'd say two errors. Christian Walker, Gold Glove, first baseman. You got to pick that throw that Javier had to first on that one. You keep that guy off the base. Next guy gets a double. Next guy pops up to second base. I mean, next guy flies out to the warning track in left field. Should have been out of that inning, no blood, and here we sit 2-0. Yeah, that was a tough first inning. By the way,
see, and somehow they don't have them. They haven't scored them either one of them.
You know, all three of them should be in there for that.
He said all three of them.
Does anybody work in Toronto? Did you hear how loud it was?
Is it?
I mean, you would have thought somebody hit a home run in a World Series game.
They're ready to go, baby.
I mean, that was an error by the
playoff baseball, baby.
Damn, boy, it was. I mean, unless they got a mic in the stands or something. Damn, that sounds like that thing sold out or something.
Might be. So that's a day baseball, like they ain't got nowhere.
It's 2 o'clock.
Like it's the summer. Maybe they're having a kids' day. Maybe they're having one of them kids' day where they invite all the schools out there.
Yeah.
It is pretty packed back there. It
seems like a kids' day Thursday at 2 is a tough
one. High school Texas high school football on Friday. Everybody just put up signs in the windows and say, we're out. We're gone. But anyway, 2-0, Blue Jays lead. We'll keep you updated here on what's going on. We hope to hear from D'Amico Ryans coming up soon, and we'll go out to NRG when that happens. But, Clint, something hopefully maybe he'll give us a little bit more information on. We'll see. Unofficial, but according to reports, Aaron Wilson reports this, Clint, in terms of players that practice and didn't practice, and we know there was some important starters that didn't play in last week's game, and some guys who got injured in last week's game. And Clinton, Texans wide receivers Christian Kirk and Braxton Berrios, who both missed the game against the Rams, they still aren't practicing with those hamstring issues. A lot of people thought maybe Christian Kirk could be more than 1 week. They felt better about Berrios. We'll see. This is just the first pad at practice, but one will watch. They didn't practice. Derek Stingley and Ed Ingram did practice. Ed Ingram, who missed the game with that abdomen issue, he did practice today. And then also Jake Andrews was sidelined with that high ankle sprain. They said he was day-to-day, but he did not practice today. Jarrett Patterson was in his spot. But Derek Stingley, Ed Ingram did practice. Christian Kirk, Braxton Berrios didn't, Clint.
Yeah, zero concerns with Jarrett Patterson at center. He's been a center all year long, played last year. I have no worries. I don't think there's a lot of change there. Maybe not being just so comfortable with the offense the way that Jake Andrews was, but I don't expect to see any drop off at the center position. Great to hear Ed Ingram's back and practicing. I mean, that right there is the key to allow Titus to go back to tackle and them to get legitimately their best five on the field. And then I'm gonna be honest with you, with Christian Kirk and even Braxton Berrios, I don't care if they practice one day this week. If their hamstring allows them to go, they got to go. I mean, they need some help.
Yeah.
But they just need some help. Look, the reality
is that something you need to see them practice. That injury, you need to see them practice.
Well, typically I would like to, yeah. But if they tell me that they can go, I mean, there would be, even if it were a Friday afternoon or a Saturday afternoon or a Sunday morning, you know, you go out there and they can sprint. If these guys can sprint and don't feel any kind of tingle in that hamstring, then we're ready to rock and roll. Now, you obviously don't want to re-injure it and make it worse kind of thing. Obviously, don't take any risk. But the reality of it is, if these guys, Christian Kirk and Braxton Berrios, I don't think the Texans are in a position where they go, oh, well, those two guys, if you don't practice – we're going to be hard asses. If you don't practice, then you're not going to play.
I don't think they do that. We've seen guys not practice Thursday and Friday or Tuesday and Thursday and play.
Well, I think it's obvious. Look, I mean, I like you know, seeing some stuff from Higgins last week. I don't think Higgins is ready to take on a big role with this team yet. As I said previously,
he's not showing any of it.
Well, I think the fair thing to do, the right thing to do that makes the most sense is to plug him in outside, leave him stationary, say you run the route tree. If the ball comes your way, catch it. Bringing him inside and asking him to block off the edge. I mean, there's a lot of thinking, trying to figure out who to block, and he's not capable of it. He's not ready for all that, right? I think you know, get some production out of Christian Watson's fine, but if those two guys can go at all, Christian Kirk and Braxton Berrios, they got to be on the field.
I'm with you on that. The other part that is just – I don't know if I want to say scary, Clint, but certainly wasn't on my radar bingo card is you saying, got to have Ed Ingram. Boy, that's the key. You got to have Ed Ingram out there. Yep. And I'm not saying you're wrong or that I disagree with you. But, boy, that is not the situation that – and I got to stop with the rearview mirror, but I can't. Yeah.
Well,
at times, that's just the situation of Ed Ingram being that important to this team
I just want to see guards playing guard, Ron.
No, it's the truth.
It's like part of the reason why I just believe Cam Robinson cannot be on the field Monday night. I don't think his play is of a $12 million guy. And again, whether it's injury, health, whatever, I don't believe that guy should just be, hey, you're going to be our left tackle. Right, and I don't think he played well enough to hold on to it. And now, if you didn't have other options, then I wouldn't even bring it up. It's just part of what you got to deal with. But when I like watching Cam Robinson, for whatever reason, struggle the way he struggles, and then watching Titus Howard, who is a tackle, he looks uncomfortable playing guard, and he's playing guard because you know there's this injury with Ed Ingram. Like, get him back to tackle where he can look the part, he can play to his skill set, he can play to his strengths, and get a guard body in there. And you know what? If Ed Ingram struggles a little bit in pass protection, okay, it ain't like we didn't see some struggles in the pass protection last week and last year anyway. So,
but the importance, Ed Ingram won. He clearly to them won the job, and Ed Ingram causes you. Oh God. Another home run off of Christian Javier. Doesn't seem like he has it early right now as the Blue Jays, they lead 3-0 with one full inning completed with Christian Javier. So he's given up 3 runs and gotten 3 outs thus far. But, Clint, I just – maybe the biggest thing of importance is not his play, but clearly from their perspective – Ed Ingram causes three moves. Ed Ingram causes
like
you to have to switch.
Yeah,
yeah. When he's not there, that means you feel, all right, I got to take my left tackle, make him my right tackle. Right. I got to take my right tackle, make him my right guard. Got to bring in Cam Robinson. And, that in itself is important.
Yeah, I don't remember if you were here or not, but we did Ed Ingram is the key to this whole thing. I mean, it's painful. Not that he played bad at guard. Not that he played bad at guard, but he's just fighting his natural ability. And Ed Ingram is a guy that you can expect to get under somebody's chin and move mass. It's unfair to expect Tytus Howard's big long ass to get down there and play like a tackle, but do it at the guard position. It ain't real.
Yeah. All right.
Emergency, cool. It ain't real to start the season.
All right, coming up, we will look forward to hearing from the head coach. Maybe he'll give us some more insight on the injury situation. D'Amico Ryan's coming up as we continue live right here, Thirsty Thursday, Buffalo Wild Wings, Tomball Parkway.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome as we are live here. The Drive is live on a Thirsty Thursday. I see people surrounding this bar already doing their thing. I see some drinks getting had. I see some fellas over here. Yiner Diaz threw somebody out.
Did he really?
I didn't know he had that in him. It was real close.
We should take a shot.
Yiner stared into the Blue Jays dugout himself as if he was unsure. And when they said, "Nah, we ain't going to challenge it," he clapped. You could tell he was excited, and why not? Christian Javier needed some help to get out of that inning as they trail 3-0 after two innings. So it's been tough base running. I'm tough base running. Tough defense, and he's missed some spots here, and velocity has been down a little bit. So
just keep your eye on the TV. The odds are you're gonna see some tough base running too now.
Yeah, I've been loading up to that. Two sevens out there, so we'll see. All right, let's head to NRG as the head coach D'Amico Ryans. He's live here as they get ready to take on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers Monday night. Here's D'Amico.
Good.
D'Amico, when it comes to the Buccaneers front, not just Bea, but Reddick and some of the other personnel they have, what do you see from these guys collectively?
The Bucs are a really, really good team, starting up with their front. Vita Vea is the guy that gets everything going. Adding Reddick on the outside, right, really good group. Diaby, ton of great players, guys who can get after you in the running game, also in the passing game. Not only physical players, athletic guys who can swim gaps. And they do a really good job with their stunts on the interior. So tough job again up front, but that's every week in the NFL. So we have our work cut out for us.
Outside of Joe and what he does on the field, like we all know what he does, what does he bring you guys off the field that you guys are missing from him, just as a player and a guy?
Yeah, we're rolling with the guys that are here. That's the main thing. We miss Joe, miss his energy and his enthusiasm and everything that he brought to our team. But we continue to press forward. Hope he's doing well.
D'Amico, what's the challenge in going up against a guy like Emeka Egbuka, rookie, only second game?
Hey, Buka, he shined in his opening game. He was explosive. He can catch the ball. He's a threat at all three levels of the field. That's where he shines. And everybody saw the two passes that he caught for touchdowns. Just an explosive player, fast. He moves all across the formation. So we definitely have to have eyes for Buka and also Mike Evans. We know those are their two top targets. Baker did a really nice job of finding those guys throughout that game.
You talked to us about the disappointment, the penalties. How is that message being received, and what is that message that you deliver your guys this week?
Yeah, the message for our guys is just do what we do well, and that's it. Like, own our fundamentals, own our technique, control the things that we can control. You control how you prepare. You control how you execute, and that's strictly up to you. So if our guys are dialed in and just execute the right way, there's no elaborate meeting or coaching point about it. We know how to play football the right way. We just got to go out and do it.
Obviously, you've been around the game a long time. Is there a different feeling to Monday night games?
Yeah, Monday night is always a little different, right? It's always a special game because, you're the only show on. Well, it used to be. Now we got doubleheaders. So it definitely changes a little bit. But Monday is always special. The entire league is watching. Your peers are watching as they're preparing for their next week. So that's always, in the back of your mind.
Last
When it comes to Baker Mayfield and some of the things he does to not just get the ball out, to be accurate with where he's going with it, what have you seen from him progression as a quarterback?
Yeah, Baker's done a really nice job. The thing that sets him apart and what I've seen him grow as a quarterback is how he escapes the pocket, right? Whether that's keeping his eyes downfield to find open receivers or just scrambling to get the first down. He does a really great job. He's gutsy. He has all everything you want in a quarterback, tough guy. He scrambles to make plays, run and pass. So you just have to play together. And that's what we preach all the time is the rush, staying after it, playing together, and our guys in coverage, we have to make sure we're plastering and staying in coverage, covering the guys twice, but because we know he can escape from anywhere.
It seems like those prime time games you talked about, how the special things of that nature, that some players play better in those situations, some players sometimes can struggle a little bit. What do you think is the key for players playing well in those big prime time spotlight games?
Yeah, again, every game to me is really, it's the same. Once the ball is kicked off, I always say this, like, it's football. It doesn't matter. You're playing on Monday, Sunday, when, it doesn't matter. Like, it's about how you prepare, how you show up for those 60 minutes. So it's not about you're going to play better because you're on Monday night or Sunday night. That's pie in the sky. Like, you got to line up, play football, execute, do what you're supposed to do, no matter when the ball, what day, what time. Football is football. So that's what we got to go do. We got to go play good football no matter when, no matter where.
Buccaneers defense, they use Winfield a couple different ways. What have you kind of made of what he does and some of the experience he has at that back part of the
playmaker. Winfield is definitely a playmaker. Todd does a good job moving him around. You tell smart, versatile player. You can trust him. He moves around, put a lot on his plate. And he, man, that's the thing that jumps out to me. He's a playmaker. So we got to have eyes for him. And we just, at the end of the day, they have a lot of good playmakers. So you can't just watch, one guy. They got a lot of guys on their defense. That's why they've been in good. They're a talented group. We just got to go out and execute our offense the proper way.
You mentioned the defense being needing to be together, what they're doing. With the group you have and so many of them having been here before and played together before, do you think that's something your defense does well?
Yeah, that's a staple for us. It's all 11 guys working together. That's what we do. That's how we are a good defense. And when we operate that way, we're a great defense, right? But if we have one person that's off, that's when, bad things happen. So it's a matter of us just making sure we stay together, make sure all 11 guys are doing what they're supposed to do.
Coach, when you go back and you watch the film, what are some of the things that you can do to maybe alleviate some of the pressure off of CJ this week?
Yeah, there's no pressure on CJ. We line up and we play ball.
What was kind of your evaluation of how Nick handled himself as kind of a first-time play caller, the first real time he did that?
Nick did a good job, right, with the play calls. At the end of the day, we all have to just put ourselves in position where we can actually call the game, right? We're behind the sticks a lot, shot ourselves in the foot a lot, where we're in second and long. And it's third and long a lot. That's not a great place to be as the first time play calling your first game. So if we can play well together and stay on schedule, stay on track, then we can see how the game is called.
Yeah, it looks like sometimes Todd will kind of have like a bunch of guys at the line of scrimmage and sometimes send them, sometimes drop out. What challenges does that, bring throughout the week when it comes to game planning for that? What challenge is that exotic looks that you can present for an offense?
There are many different looks. Many defenses do a lot of different things, moving guys around, disguising. That's a staple, I think, for all defenses. So you see it every week. It's nothing grand or nothing new. We just have to make sure we're getting to the line of scrimmage in time. We can ID what we need to ID and execute our plays.
So there have been things you've seen this week that have helped you see this team come together a little bit more. You said you have to play together. The team has to.
Yeah, our team is together. It's not – the building isn't burning down. We're together. We didn't execute, right, on some plays. It didn't turn out good for us. We ended up losing the game. But our team is together. Our team has never not been together. We're together. We're ready to go play on Monday night. That's what it's about for us.
And, Coach, just to clarify what I was asking, I didn't mean any pressure as far as CJ for himself. I meant from an offensive line standpoint.
Yeah, I thought our offensive line did a good job. Again, in the game, we can help ourselves by stepping up in the pocket on a couple of the sacks that happened. But again, I thought we had clean pockets versus the Rams as well. So, there are a lot of good things that happened versus the Rams. They made more plays than we made, and that's the bottom line. You know, we hurt ourselves in the red zone defensively. We were down in the red zone three times. Two times we gave up touchdowns in the red zone, right? We stop them. We make them kick field goals there, right? We're sitting here telling a different story. So, again, it'll always be about us and what we do, how we execute. We execute the right way. We'll put ourselves in favorable position to win games. All right.
Thank you, Coach. All right. That's head coach D'Amico Ryans.
Wow.
Clint, do you have any reactions? Tyler just had one. Do you have any reactions? I mean, we got to get to the next segment.
I think it's good. I love spicy D'Amico, but I think it's very telling. I mean, the last question was reiterated for a second time about the offensive line, and he somehow put it on the defense. He somehow said, "Well, the defense gave up two touchdowns in the offensive line."
And he also said the offensive line did some good things. We could have stepped up in the pocket.
But how did we get to the defense giving up two touchdowns? The frustration is obvious. The attempt and that he's trying to cover for those guys. The obvious annoyance with Nick Caley. The questions about Nick Caley is I think pretty telling. So.
Look,
the head coach of the Houston Texans, if he was in a good mood today, I think we'd have some serious problems. He ought to be annoyed with what's going on.
Yeah, let's react to him. Let's react to some of the things we heard from D'Amico. There was a lot there. 713-572-4610, YouTube and Twitch. You can react. What was your thoughts from D'Amico in anything that he talked about there, from Nick Caley to C.J. Stroud to the offensive line? What were your thoughts there? We'll discuss and react to D'Amico Ryans. That's coming up next.